The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As the presidential election draws nearer, more and more candidates are emerging for the potential of being elected. Some are cautiously raising their hand, others staking heavy claim for the job. Joining us now to discuss this and more is Ireland editor of the Irish Independent, Fionnán Sheehan. Morning, Fionnán.
Anton, it's more exciting than the Liveline presenter slot. Who's going to get that at this stage? Like, you know,
and I believe the Venn diagram may overlap in some way because Joe Duffy is now being speculated about.
Yeah, he was being asked about this several times on Friday as he was bidding farewell to RTE after his long stint there on the Gay Byrne show and Liveline very much a part of the fixtures there, and he was basically saying, oh, it's embarrassing to hear my name being mentioned, and sure, don't be losing the run of yourself, and so on and so forth. Now, it didn't sound to me like a categorical ruling it out absolutely and completely and utterly, so let's just see there. You know, he might be like Bertie Ahern, it might be an Northside thing in Dublin where you like to have your name associated with it. So, Joe Duffy, there has been some talk about some of the left-leaning parties like Labour possibly talking to him about being a candidate. So, you know, not entirely there, but yeah, the name is definitely floating about. And there's a problem that is on the emerging on the left now. Earlier on in the year, Ivana Bacic was talking about a unified left-wing candidate that Labour, the Sock Dems and the Greens and like-minded independents would come together and back one person. And that was grand. Their only problem is they don't have anybody. And they're 3-4 months later, they're still scouting about. It was telling last week to hear Frances Black rule herself out of contention. And she actually said she had been kind of scouted earlier on in the year and talked to by some of the left parties and then nothing. You know, nobody came back to her and said, well, we're not interested. We are interested. It was just an abyss. So, you know, you've heard Mike Ryan's name being mentioned there, a couple of, you know, former Labour, former Sock Dem people as well, but no firm name approaching there. So it looks like, you know, this dream left-wing candidate just isn't really emerging.
Is that because the parties of the, or rather do you think, is that because the parties of the left have yet to find somebody they think is a viable person to fit that role, or because they're failing to coalesce?
I think more the latter. It's going to be that there was talk of for example, Roisin Shortall running. Now, she came out for me and said, look, I'm not interested in running, but the rumblings back from the Labour Party was, well, we won't be backing her. So, you know, it's while technically they fall into the same ideological space. If you look at the last general election and the manner in which those results came about, where the Green Party lost 11 seats and the Sock Dems and Labour between them picked up 11 seats, and you look at the manner in which the votes moved about in that election, you'd kind of argue, listen, that's, you're pretty much in the same space here. So therefore, your voters are more likely to coalesce, but it's just party personalities seem to be getting in the way there. So there's no candidate yet. Maybe ultimately they weigh in behind somebody like an independent like Catherine Connolly if she puts her name forward. It's still early days. I mean, really, if you're going to be a candidate, then you don't necessarily need to have your name out there yet. You can wait until August or September, but really by that stage you do need to be lining up who exactly is nominating you for the role. And ultimately, if there's the best part of 24 TDs and a bunch of senators between Labour, the Social Democrats and the Greens. So somebody can be firmly nominated there, whether that's as an officially endorsed candidate or not is another thing. It's worth remembering, by the way, back in the day, Mary Robinson was technically independent at the time. She didn't become the Labour Party candidate, but she was also backed by the Workers' Party and some independents at the time. So there is precedence here for a successful left-wing candidate to put themselves forward. You could argue at the last election, Michael Lee Higgins was an independent. He was backed by a rake of parties, really, because everybody else stepped back from the race. But was he a unified left candidate? So if as we're expecting now, there will definitely be a Fine Gael candidate. Now more likely there will be a Fianna Fáil candidate and probably then a Sinn Féin candidate. There will still be a gap there for somebody who is of an independent or soft left ideological stance to go into the race as well.
Talk to me a bit about the strategy around whether or not you declare Fionn Fáil, because we effectively have three buckets. We have the not in a fit crowd, so the Francis Black, Francis Fitzgerald is case in point. We have the people who like to be talked about but have yet to declare, like Bertie Ahern, Joe Duffy, Mairead McGuinness. And then we have the ones who have said very clearly, I'll take it if I can get it, like Mary Hanafin. Is there a particular advantage to playing it either of those, well, particularly the latter two ways?
Yeah, well, with the, you'd also add in Sean Kelly into the list of fellas who like having their name out there without necessarily committing to anything. Recent precedent would suggest that maybe you're better off not having your name out there too early, because once you're confirmed as a candidate, you then have a target on your back. People will look back to previous events, though, and say, well, Barry Robinson was actually out there pretty early. An example of someone who declared too early and saw their campaign collapse over the course of the summer was David Norris, the independent, back in 2011. He was in the early stages of the race, the firm favourite. The polls were showing that he was ahead, but we weren't clear what the field was at that point. And ultimately, it meant that there was a focus on him and his campaign collapsed. And you could look at other examples like Mary Davis, like Gay Mitchell, people like that who came out early and didn't survive that not even the scrutiny, but just the level of focus that comes upon you. And suddenly you can reach August, September, and your campaign is dead. And by that stage, you've declared and you're a candidate, and you're literally kind of wasting your time seeing out the last 6 weeks of the campaign. So that's what you don't want. If, however, in Mary Hanafin's case, she is arguing, well, Fianna Fáil should be running a candidate, there isn't an excuse saying we don't have a candidate who is a household name because she's a long-standing political figure. Well, then she is, in effect, both seeking to be the candidate and also trying to convince the party leadership that there should be a candidate in the first place. So I can see the logic behind her declaring at this point, so such that it puts internal pressure on Micheál Martin to say, yes, we are definitely contesting this election.
Now, how much does the party support matter? Because there's the two routes. There's the local authority route and there's the party nomination route. And there is a belief that says that if you get nominated by the party, you intrinsically receive effectively their core foundational vote. So if it's Fianna Fáil, you get a bounce of 18 or 19%. Is that the case?
Not really. I mean, where it matters is organisationally. You know, cash, it's a bloody expensive campaign to run in. Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, because they will be running a serious campaign, not just kind of an independent kind of person just adding their name at the last minute and chancing their arm, they'll be spending upwards of $500,000. I mean, that's the baseline of what you're looking at here. So if you're going into a race like this, that financial firepower means that you can actually put up a contest as opposed to trying to scramble around between your own resources, borrowing money as people have done in the past, and also trying to fundraise or get some benefactors for your campaign. So the money does matter. The organizational structure does matter in terms of posters, canvassing and so on. There's also an argument, though, that you know, party brand doesn't necessarily buy you that sort of vote. You can go back to Austin Currie back in 1990, where a big bunch of Fine Gael vote basically went with Mary Robinson on that occasion. And likewise, the Gay Mitchell incident back in 2011, where Fine Gael were the big beasts of Irish politics. They'd almost got an overall majority, just a couple of seats short in the general election. They were hitting the high 30s in terms of support, and yet their candidate came out with only 6% of the vote. So it doesn't guarantee you that you will get the party support weighing in behind you, but it doesn't do any harm either in terms of actually being able to mount a campaign and being assured that at the end of it, you're not going to find yourself in a mountain of debt.
To what extent do you think people, potentially good candidates, are ruling themselves out of the race because of the risks that are sort of unique to the presidential campaign? That mountain of debt, hundreds of thousands and even more if you're trying to run independently. And so many people who previously went in with golden reputations only to come out standing in the wreckage of them at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie Roach being a classic example in 97, put forward by the Labour Party, fabulous woman, wonderful work that she's done in the Chernobyl Children's Project for decades, and at that point was known widely for that advocacy and that role right across the country. And yet, you know, her campaign was quite a bruising one. She herself has spoken subsequently about the impact that it has had on her. And you can add in Mary Davis, you can add in Joan Freeman, you can add in David Norris, Gay Mitchell, and so on. So it there is an awareness, I think, at this point we're playing by new rules here. Everything you are, on the one hand, going to come under a significant level of scrutiny, and rightly so, because you are seeking to be the head of state. You're seeking to get the highest office in the land, and ultimately, once you're in it, there's no really getting you out of it. You're there for the 7 years. So it is right and proper that people should be scrutinized. On the other hand, that means then that your personal life, your financial affairs, everything that you said and everything that you stood for over the previous 30, 40 years of your life and your career is going to come under scrutiny. And you will have people coming out of the woodwork who will be coming forward with information on you. I can remember back in 2011, literally dossiers of information coming in to us about a particular candidate in that race. And so you're going to have to endure that and survive that. And some people don't fancy it, because what we have seen over the years with presidential elections, ever since the ground was broken with the Mary Robinson campaign, is that nothing is guaranteed. You go back to 1990, Brian Lenihan went into that, Fianna Fáil, the leading party in the country at the time. He was tarnished, great track record and so on and so forth. And by the end of the campaign, he'd been sacked as tarnished, and he had lost Fianna Fáil the presidency for the first time. So you literally don't know what's going to emerge over the course of the campaign. And there are some people who just don't fancy it. There are other people as well who just don't fancy the role. I mean, it you have to completely change your life about. It tends to be people who are at a particular stage in life, and do they really fancy uprooting themselves and moving to the Phoenix Park for 7 years at that late stage, removing yourself from your family and your friends in effect, and going into that bubble. And there's a lot of people who would say, no, I don't fancy that one.
Fionnán, thank you very much. That is Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.